Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Warrior's Word with Wisconsin Lutheran College head football coach Dennis Miller. The Warrior's Word is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Wisconsin Lutheran coach questions about the Warriors, football or sports in general, or just seek Coach Miller's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, a fan writes in to thank the coach for sharing his personal stories and challenges with us. The coach discusses Nick Yockey's progress, and we learn if there's an insect the coach may be afraid of. So let's join the Warrior's Word.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Miller. Coach, before we jump into team updates and such, I did have a statement that one person wrote in that I wanted to read first. So the person says, Coach, thank you for sharing your latest report with players, parents, and fans of the show. We have been blessed by your coaching and the way you have modeled what being a man of God is all about. We thank God for you.
Well, that's a really appreciated comment. Whoever sent that in, thank you very much. It means a lot to me.
So let's start with team updates then.
Best part of the bye week is that we got some kids healthy. So we got a couple of kids that are coming back from early season injuries and feel very good about that. The number of players that are requiring a lot of attention from the training staff has gone down. So excited about the chance just to step away from some of the normal practice and allow some of those kids to heal up. And right now I feel like we're getting into more of our full strength like we were before our very first game of the year.
Coming out of this bye week, were there things you wanted to see from the team, and did you feel you saw that?
Yeah, well, a lot of times people approach bye weeks differently, I suppose. Some teams, take that week and begin preparing right away for their next opponent, and others take that week or the bulk of it and, make adjustments and fix things that they aren't pleased with up to that point in time. And that's kind of the tack that we took in taking a lot of the things that, we wanted to improve on and make some tweaks, and added a couple of things that we think are going to improve our football team. So, yeah, I'm happy about what we accomplished in the bye week, and we're all very much ready to play a game now, because you get in kind of a rhythm and then you get out of it. So it's like everybody's chomping at the bit to get back on it.
You had your bye week between the non-conference and the beginning of the conference schedule. Do you feel like the team kind of sees this as that this is now the real part of the season?
Yeah, they really do. I mean, the non-conference schedule is great, and it's important, and we want to win every one of those games and all of those things, but conference play is different. Number one, you're very accustomed to the teams that you're playing. You play them year after year, so you know them. The coaches, the players know each other a little bit, so... I think there's a definite ratcheting up in terms of, this is real and this counts, and they're keeping a record of this. And, yeah, I think there's a really good energy associated with it.
You take on Rockford this Saturday. They are coming off of the bye week as well. So your thoughts on this contest?
Well, when you start conference play, I think there's the great unknown because, everybody looks at everybody else's scores, but you don't have any common comparisons. And so, I think we're all excited about playing Rockford. We know that they had a heck of a season last year. They've done some very good things this year. And yet there's no comparisons where we can say, oh, okay, now I get it, now I see, so on and so forth. So I think there's a lot of excitement and anticipation and some questions going into this game.
The heart of their offense appears to be their running game. They have a pair of juniors, both in name and a grade level, as a matter of fact, that are leading the way. Are there things you do differently to try to slow them down, or do you feel your base defense matches up well against them?
Well, I think, every single team that you play, you make some adjustments based on what an offense is doing. Not wholesale adjustments at all, but you're definitely aware of tendencies and formations and styles of certain runners and so on and so forth. So we're going to do that, but by and large, we're going to play our defense and hopefully we do a good job against them because they're both nice runners, both of them are.
You talked about after the Adrian game that you thought your offense had really grown during that fourth quarter. I'm curious if the bye week has kind of hurt that momentum, or do you feel it's kind of solidified it?
Yeah, it definitely has not hurt it. I think it was, despite the loss, and again, we really wish that we would have won that game. But despite that, we went in with really a lot of excitement about what we can become if we play like that. And so I think that's really, first of all, been a great little kickstart to the bye week, because sometimes mentally kids check out a little bit because they know they don't have a game coming up on Saturday. I thought our attention to detail, I thought our focus was better than it's been, and I think it's a lot of it comes from that last game and how we played in that game.
Rockford struggles to get pressure on the quarterback through their first three contests of the season so far. Do you feel like this contest is a spot where Nick Yockey should have a lot of time to kind of make big plays down the field?
Well, we hope so. I mean, I think anytime you're a team that relies on the passing game, you got to really rely on the pass protection. And I know Nick's very talented, and if given time, he has the ability to make some big plays. So, I really hope that that's the case. But again, we don't, until we play these guys, we really don't know for sure how they're going to attack us and what kind of blitzes they're going to give and that sort of thing. But if we can keep him upright and people away from him, I think he has a chance to do some good things.
Well, let's head to fan questions, and we have a couple from Dan. The first is, what do you feel are Nick Yockey's best traits, and where are areas you would like to see him grow?
Well, I think for almost every quarterback, a real important trait is just kind of having football smarts. And he's got that. I mean, he's a very aware player. And a lot of times that's something that takes some time to build and so on, and because you're seeing different stuff in college than you saw in high school. But Nick has a great awareness about him and just honestly doesn't miss very many things that are critical to his decision on where the ball should go. So that I think is certainly one of his best traits, and then I think he's like a lot of young quarterbacks. Sometimes you predetermine where you're going to throw the ball based on who you like and how it went in practice sometimes, and you got to let the play develop, and I think that's an area he has to grow with as well.
Dan would also like to know, he says, as a coach, are you concerned when you see that four of your five top tacklers are defensive backs? If so, what do you do about that? How do you get your linebackers more involved in the play?
Well, normally you don't want to see your DBs being your leading tacklers, and yet there are certain kind of defensive structures that force the ball to go into areas where they're going to be able to come up and make plays, and that's kind of what where our defense is designed. I don't, I don't think we're designed in such a way that interior guys are going to be making all the plays. I think our defense is designed more so where a lot of the outside guys are. So, certainly the linebackers have to be involved and so on, and I think that you'll continue to see that grow, but I'm not really overly concerned about it because it's kind of working the way we intended it to.
Brandon would like to know how the bye week benefits you personally.
Well, I think a number of ways it allows you a little bit more time to do some recruiting, just because you have more time during the week. It kind of allows you to do a really good self-scout of yourself to see what do we look like to our opponents and so on. It just gives you a chance to, do some things that you don't have time to do during a pretty busy, regimented day after day schedule with a game on Saturday. And then personally, not having a game on the weekend, you just get to spend a little more time at home and get some yard work done and all that sort of stuff. So I definitely benefited from that.
I had kind of forgot that just because the season's going on doesn't mean recruiting ended for you.
No, it sure doesn't. That's going on all the time.
Elijah says, do you feel there is a dominant team in the NAC, and how many victories do you think it will take to win this conference?
I think there's a number of very good teams in the NAC. I think there's three or four teams that are going to have an opportunity that, based on, again, not any real good comparisons, are going to have a chance to have a say in who wins this thing. I don't know for sure how many victories it's going to take to win the conference. I don't think that a conference team is going to go undefeated. So you can't lose very many games in a conference setting, but I don't think it'll be an undefeated team winning it.
Greg would like to know what you feel is the personality of the team.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we have a very loose football team from the standpoint of they don't get so bound up within themselves when they're playing. I think they're a pretty free football team, and I like that. I think they have a lot of fun with each other. It is one of the most enjoyable teams I've coached for a very long time, because I think they're just really enjoying playing the game, and there's really a positive vibe with it.
Eddie says, you have three other freshman quarterbacks. How do they respond to the fact that you have likely chosen your quarterback for the next 4 years? Do they need to start transitioning to another position?
You know, quarterback is always a hard spot, because it's one of those positions that there's, you know, typically not a lot of rotating. You know, a lot of teams will play two quarterbacks, and I think you'll see us doing that as the year progresses as well. But you know, there's not as much substituting as you normally get at other spots, like receiver or running back, or, you know, defensive positions or things like that. But you know, the other thing though is you're really a play away from being in and playing and so on. So I'm hoping they're not caught up in the fact that this position is occupied for the next 4 years, because you just never know, based on injury and a variety of things, when their opportunity is going to come.
Noah would like to know, do you think there's an ideal size for a college quarterback?
No, I don't think so. I mean, some of that's dictated a little bit by what you want to do offensively. And, you know, I mean, heck, you can see NFL quarterbacks that range in size from 5'10 to 6'6. So I don't think there's an ideal size. I think things that you look for, you know, you want a guy typically that's got a pretty good hand size so that he can handle the ball and so on. But beyond that, I think every size and every skill set can work. You know, you have to kind of tailor your offense to that a little bit.
That's interesting you said that, because something I've been curious about was it Kyler Murray that was the number one pick that came out of Oklahoma? Is that
yeah?
Okay. I heard the knock on him was he had too small a hands. Is that, I guess that's really a thing then.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, it really is. It's that's one of the measurements that, you know, if I were in the NFL, that would be something that I would definitely be paying attention to, because just the ability to hang on to the ball, to control it in different weather and elements and that sort of thing, to deal with people swatting at it all the time. And, yeah, you just have a lot more control of the football, I think, if your hand is bigger. So that's something that I'd probably pay attention to.
James says, I like your point about how when you do something for the first time, it helps you to overcome a hurdle. It's a psychological win as well. As you have talked about the team's early struggles in games, where you are falling behind early, do you feel that something like always receiving the opening kickoff to try to score first is something that could help?
I certainly think it could help. I think if you go down in your first drive of the game and you score points, especially when that hasn't been your MO up to that point in time, I think that's a real kickstart for you. So, yeah, that would be ideal to get the opening kickoff and bring it down and score. And I think that would be a really, really positive mental thing for our players.
Rick says the Packers offense has looked so good early on in games, and I have listened to announcers talk about how they script the first 15 plays of each game. What I don't really understand is why not script 20 or 30? Why should those plays be so successful when you practice all of your playbook?
You know, you can – I script plays and have been doing it for, 30 years probably. You typically – what you try to do in those first 15 plays is you try to give – the different kinds of motions and alignments and formations and so on, down and distance, hash mark tendencies, all that sort of thing. You try to get that all out in the first 15 that you think are going to be the very best plays against the opponent you're going to play. But then the thing that you also do is you make notes after each play as to, you know, was that good, was that bad, and how do we want to move forward? And I don't think you can lock yourself in for – I think locking yourself in for 20 or 30 plays takes the day-of-the-game element out of it, and I don't think most people want to do that. I think they want to be they want to deal with what they're seeing right in front of them rather than what they figured out on Thursday in the office.
We have a couple of questions from Ben. The first is, what position did you play in football?
I played inside linebacker in college. That was my position. Loved it. I was convinced that offense was just something you did until the defense could get back on the field back when I played. So that's what I did.
So you were a scary Ray Lewis guy. I should have known.
Yeah, I wish I would have been as good as Ray Lewis. But, I love playing linebacker. That was great.
Ben would also like to know, do you think former offensive coaches or former defensive coaches make better head coaches?
Oh, there's no recipe for that at all. I mean, you look at the greats. Bill Belichick is as good as it gets, and he's a defensive guy. And, you know, Andy Reid's as good as it gets, and he's an offensive guy. And then there's everything in between. So I don't think there's a recipe for the best head coaches at all. I think they come from all positions, sides of the ball, and I've got a couple of very close friends that never even played college football that are very, very successful head college football coaches. So they come from all over the place.
Lars would like to know, are there drills in football that you think are outdated? I hear some coaches talk about how useless running through tires is. Is that a drill you would get rid of?
No, I'd still run through tires, those kinds of things. We don't do that, but we do it in a different way. But, I think there are drills that are outdated or certainly that are not. You know, there used to be so many just physical hitting drills for no purpose other than just to physically hit. And with what we know now about concussions and repetitive head blows and that sort of stuff, I think those are kind of the drills that are outdated. But I think any drill that, you know, helps you, you know, work on a skill that you're going to need in football, such as lifting your legs and getting them through tires so that you don't get tripped up by a hand that's on the ground or something, I think those are all valuable. But there are some outdated drills regarding hitting that I think just they're not necessary anymore, and we know better, so we should do better.
Michelle would like to know if there's an insect you are afraid of, and if so, why?
Interesting question. That's an interesting question. I hate spiders, so I don't know if, you know, I'm necessarily afraid of them, but depending on what part of the country I'm in, I might be afraid of them, but I hate spiders. But normally I'm not too afraid of insects.
I want to say that you don't need an explanation for that. Just, they're spiders, so nobody should like them.
So. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And what are we praising the Lord about today, Coach?
Well, a lot of it seems like it's a repetitive statement with me, but I've got several friends that are going through some different medical things, and we've had some good news, as my daughter, when she was little, talked about good newses, if there was more than one. So I've had a few good newses this week about close friends of mine that are seeing an uptick in their health. So I'm praising the Lord about that.
That is awesome. Well, thanks for joining us this week, Coach.
Thank you, Rob. Have a Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
We want to thank Coach Miller for joining us on the Warrior's Word this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Wisconsin Lutheran coach, please send them to us at DennisMiller@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's DennisMiller@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by Tuesday evening so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on the Warrior's Word.